stand at this time. We're going to open up with prayer. If anybody has a request, uplifted hand on this side before we start service. Brother Johnson. I think we need to build our faith before we even go into prayer. And I'm just reminded by Andrea's dad. You told me about how many years ago he had a heart attack. He was on a Wednesday night service. Do you want to share this, or should I try to do my best version? It was on a Wednesday night service. He was having trouble. And did he have it right here behind the pulpit? But there was a church that went in the inside the hospital and started praying. And Andrea said she never heard the church travail and pray like that before. And Brother Levine was there at the time, and he was at the hospital. And he got a call from another pastor from across the country. He goes, "I felt like I need to." Brother Wilford was on my mind, and God told me that it's not his time to go. He had no idea what happened that night, that he had a heart attack, and that God turned a heart attack into no evidence of a heart attack that night because the church began to pray. And that's the power of prayer. And that we need to pray in faith believing. And those prayers that Sister Callum prayed, that brings before every Sunday, and Brother Mike brings before his job situation every Sunday or every Wednesday, we need to believe God. Expect God to do something. We're praying with an expectation. We're not just praying to say, "I'm just going to bring this thing before the Lord and just, you know, I'm not expecting anything to happen." But when I pray, when I call upon the name of Jesus, I expect something to happen when I begin to pray. When two or three are gathered in my name, when we mention somebody's name in prayer, God is poised and ready to act. Does anybody else have another prayer request tonight, Sister? Thank you. Okay. Anybody else? Let's pray believing. And the church began to pray. And this is the time the church begins to pray. And expect, God, you know where we're at. You know every need in here right now in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, we're coming with an expectation before you here on a midweek service on a Wednesday night, Lord. There are needs that are brought before you, Lord, here right now in Jesus' name, Lord. And we're calling upon the only name that can hear and deliver and to save and to heal and to restore and to make all things new in Jesus' name, Lord. The name above all names, Lord, we're calling upon that name. We're crying out to that name. We're coming before you with our prayers and petition once again, Lord. But this time, Lord, with the expectation, believing, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. When your church begins to pray, Lord, things begin to happen, Lord. When we call upon your name, things begin to happen, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. May your people cry out to you, Lord, in Jesus' name in this hour, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, worthy God, you are prayer answering God, Lord. We expect, Lord, you to hear from heaven, Lord. We expect, Lord, you to move on our behalf, Lord, to cast our cares upon you because you care for us. In Jesus' name.
Through the winds of rain, beyond the horizon. you, Lord. God, I'll praise you. I'll worship you. I lift you up tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. A few announcements tonight. Sunday service will be starting at 10 a.m. Main service at 11 like normal. Sunday night we will have prayer here at 6 p.m. This Saturday, February 8th, there will be the Ladies Connection taking place at Sister Connie's house at 11 a.m. Again, all ladies are welcome. No obligation unless you've been asked for an obligation, then you have an obligation. If you haven't been, then come freely. But bring somebody, bring another lady, and it'll be a great time of fellowship. Saturday evening, February 8th, there is a Section 11 Spanish service in DeKalb at 6 p.m. If you are interested, it is going to be in Spanish, so if you've always wanted to take up Spanish, I guess might as well jump in with both feet. But it is going to be at DeKalb UPC at 6 p.m., and it is open to anybody in Section 11. Tonight, immediately following service, if the men could meet me just down here, just want to run something by you. But if you're able to, men, want to just ask, just run something by you. Won't be long, just a minute or two, but if you could meet with me right after service, would appreciate that. We're going to take up tonight's tithe and offering. It'll be in the back. So why don't we pray over this as we move in with this next part of our service. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for what we feel tonight. I pray, Lord, you take this offering, bless it, use it for the kingdom, however you see fit, God. We trust you with our finances. Let us give freely to the kingdom of God tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name. Thank you. our good Father, knowing He hears them, knowing He's still a good Father and He can reach them. Come on, let's pray for our lost loved ones right now in the name of Jesus. God, we bring these names before You. You know who they are. God, You know what each piece of paper represents. That is a soul. That is a child of the Most High God. Lord, and be a good Father. You are perfect. You're working things out for their good, for our good. What the enemy meant for evil, You turned to good. God, You know exactly what You're doing. I pray, Lord, that they would not be stubborn and stiff-necked. God, that they'd be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, sensitive to Your Spirit, sensitive to what You're trying to do and turning them back towards You. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our young people can be dismissed tonight. Want to turn our attention to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 9. Verse 9, it says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I want to speak tonight just for a few moments that we all need somebody to lean on. Amen. Let's just put our phones down, put our Bibles down, whatever you have. Let's just lift up our hands and let's ask God to speak to us tonight. Heavenly Father, God, we are here for one reason and one reason alone, and that is to glorify, to magnify, to elevate the name of Jesus tonight. I pray, Lord, that You would touch those that are here. Help us, God, through Your word, speak to us, encourage us. Help us, Jesus, to be there for one another, to rely upon one another. God, to be the person that someone can lean upon in hard times. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. There are benefits to having somebody to lean on. When you're worn out, when you're tired, it's nice to have somebody to lean on. I'm not a over-the-top athletic person. At one time in my life, I was a lot more athletic, but now breaking a sweat, and no thanks. I mean, last time I broke a sweat, I think it was when I peeled an orange. I mean, it just took everything out of me. That's kind of the phase of fitness that I'm in right now. But at one point in my life, before I was married, I ran a couple of endurance races, and it's the ones that I ran were called Tough Mudder, and basically it was a mud run. It was a 12-mile run through mud, and there were obstacles, and you had to climb over walls. It was probably, Brother Kellum, you would have seen it, and you would have said, this is a fun version of boot camp that they made you do. I willingly paid money to go do this. But, you know, there's thousands of people running this together. And let me tell you, when you're running something like that and you're not in the best shape, you really rely upon those around you. And typically, the way I did it, the way my friends and I did it, you would sign up as a group and you just would run together as a group. And you'd get to a wall, and they purposely would have walls that, unless you were very tall or very, very athletic, you couldn't scale the wall on your own. It'd be a 12-foot wall with maybe these small footholds to climb up on. So the way you would do it would be stand there, and someone climbs up you. And they're standing here, and they're pulling the next guy. And you know, it was meant to be a camaraderie event and a team event. And in those moments, I was not the tallest, the strongest, the quickest, which meant I was not relied upon often. I got to be the one relying upon others. There's one, and I'm telling too much of the story, but there's one particular thing. If you've ever watched American Ninja Warrior or seen any of those ninja events, you have to run up, they call it Mount Everest, but it's a slope that you run up and you have to jump and catch the edge. And when it's a mud run, And thousands of people literally have been doing this all day. That slope gets very muddy and wet and gross. So the really athletic, quick guys can scurry on up, you know, jump up, and they don't need any help. The guys like me who have been plodding along all day, their calves have been cramping up and they can barely move. I wish I should have pulled the picture. There's a picture of that someone caught in the perfect moment where I ran, I made it as far as I could, and I jumped. And they caught me midair, and it's actually one of my cooler pictures. But I'm supermanning it, jumping, and they catch me midair, and I'll never forget, because as I'm looking up at these strangers' faces, don't let me go, I can't do anything, you gotta pull me up. They literally pulled me up and over the edge, and I laid, and there's more guys running, help, help, and I'm just laying up there. No, sorry, help yourself first. Yeah, it took everything out of me. But in those moments, you know, if you find yourself in, you really depend upon other people. But even in other scenarios, not quite as extreme, it is good to have somebody to lean upon. It's good to not be by yourself and to not be isolated and alone. My wife and I, of course, were in youth ministry for many years. And every year we would take our youth to events like Illinois Youth Convention or North American Youth Congress. And we had some rules for our young people that they had to follow. And the first rule was you were not to go off on your own. Well, first off, without telling us if you were going off somewhere. But most important, well, that was probably most important. But secondly, you did never go off on your own. We were never solo, even if it was just at Illinois Youth Convention, even if it was just running across the street to the other hotel, you were never alone. You always told us where you were going, you were never alone. And we took that rule a step further. You were never just in groups of two. We've learned being in youth ministry. Brother Jay and Sister Darlene can probably attest. Anytime a boy and girl go off alone, even if it's platonic and, you know, there's nothing there, something happens at these events that draws people together, and we wanted to avoid that and to protect them. Also, if it would be just two girls going off on their own, they could potentially be vulnerable, and we wanted to have someone there that would protect them. If it'd be two boys wandering off alone, they'd probably get themselves into trouble, and we wanted to protect them by having a girl go with in this scenario that is a little wiser than a teenage boy. But we learned, and our rule was you stay in groups of three. You don't break off. You don't go off on your own. You're never isolated. We learned that there's safety and security when you're in a group. There's protection when you're in a group. And verse 10 of our text tonight says, "For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone. When he falleth, he hath not another to help him up." When you're walking with someone, inevitably you're going to trip. In life, we are all going to trip. We're all going, I would love to say that this is a straight and narrow, that we never turn left or right, we never stumble, we never make a mistake. But, you know, as Brother Kellum talked about on Sunday, we struggle with flesh every single day. We have to take that under submission every single day. And so the scripture doesn't say if he falleth, it says when he falls. When he falls, woe to the person that makes mistakes, and when he falls, there's no one there to help him up. You don't want to be in a position, and we can't allow ourselves to be in a position to be alone, to be isolated. And some people could say, well, I can't help that. It's the season of life I'm in. It's just how it is. But even in those seasons when you don't have a spouse, a helpmate, there's still a church body that wants to be with you and wants to connect and to prevent you from being alone. Verse 11 goes more in depth than this. It says, again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? If you've ever been married and laid next to another person, you understand how body heat works. Unless that person is my wife, she doesn't have body heat, she has body cold. It is pretty incredible how in the middle of summer, somebody could put on wool pajamas, put on three pairs of socks, a hat, and mittens, and yet when they put their feet up against your legs, they still freeze your legs. I've never quite seen anything like it. But for every other person, there is a natural body heat that exists. And you get too close, especially for me and my daughter, we both run hot, and we get away from me, don't touch me, too much body heat, you know, and that's how both my daughter and I get. But we were designed, God designed us to be able to help each other. If you ever got caught in a snowstorm, if you're ever trapped in your car and you're in an embankment, they get close with the person there. And they actually suggest it makes more sense to get skin-to-skin contact and take off clothing and layer that clothing on top if you're in that scenario, because your bodies will actually warm each other with skin-to-skin contact. And it's better for you because we were made to rely upon another person. We weren't designed to just be on our own. God didn't create us to be strong and independent and not have a need for anybody else. God called us to be perfected when we lean upon others. When you lean upon others, when you have that relationship where you're strengthening one another, where you're bearing one another's burdens, you're actually fulfilling God's purpose. It says in Galatians 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." For me to bear your burden fulfills the law of Christ. So in order for this to work, Lauren, can you help me for 1 second? I know you're taking notes over there. Can you just put this on your shoulders? So she's very strong, and she could do this for hours, and it wouldn't even affect her. But if this was a heavyweight, pretend like it's a heavyweight. The scripture says, bear one another's burdens, and you're struggling. You're really struggling. Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. So by me coming along beside of her and bearing this burden, I am fulfilling the law of Christ. I am doing what God designed me to do. That is my role, is to bear her burden and to fulfill the law of Christ. So if she is struggling with this, and I come alongside of her to help her, and she says, no, I'm fine. I got this. I don't need you. She is actually hindering me from fulfilling the law of Christ. It is actually a good thing to be weak. It is a good thing to be isolated, or to not to be isolated, but to recognize you're isolated and you have need of somebody. Because when you do that, you allow somebody to fulfill the law of Christ. And go ahead, sorry. Thank you. Let's give it up for my wife. So strong. But you are fulfilling the law of Christ, and you are giving somebody an opportunity to be used by God. Your weakness is an opportunity for God to give somebody else strength and to work through them. And if you see yourself as too weak and not having need, I don't want to be a burden to somebody. It would just be better off if I was gone. I'd be better off if I was on my own. A lot of times that becomes the mentality. I just don't want to be a burden. I don't want to trouble you. Well, you haven't had anything to eat in weeks. Well, I know, but I just didn't have any money. I just didn't want to call anybody. Yeah, but we would have done something. The church would have done something. We would have helped. We would have come along beside you. We would have fulfilled the law of Christ if you would have allowed us. But we can't read your mind. You know, and you isolating yourself is only hurting the body of Christ as well as hurting you. It's not giving an opportunity for somebody to be used. And then likewise, the next verse in Galatians 6:3, following right after that one, it says, "If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." If you think that you are too important to help somebody out, if you think that you are, I got so much stuff going on, they can take care of their own business. Sorry, that's a you problem, that's not a me problem. Then the scripture says you're actually deceiving yourself, because we are not called to be better than anybody else or not have time for anybody else. We are called to bear one another's burden and to support each other. God desires us, each and every one of us, to be there for each other. The last verse that I read in the main text was Ecclesiastes 4:12, and it says, "If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." I have a couple of different translations that I know we don't have on the back, so you'll just have to hear me read them. But in the NLT, this same passage reads, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. In the Message version, it says, by yourself, you're unprotected. With a friend, you can face the worst. Can you round up a third? A three-stranded rope isn't easily snapped. And then the last translation I want to read, I'm not even sure what this is, but it's the CEV translation, and it was written in all caps. So that's how you know their intent in the CEV. But it says, someone might be able to beat up one person, but not both of you. Very cut and dry there. But it's all of these different translations are referring to some sort of a fight or some sort of a battle, and how much more effective are you when there's two fighting? And if you can round up a third, as the Message says, you'll be even more effective. And so I picture, now I'm going to choose you, Brother Greg. I have to pick on you every once in a while. But let's stand back to back and then loop an arm. Let's try this. We didn't practice this. All right, I'll need one arm. But how much more effective, if we are back-to-back, if we can, if we're in a fight and we can see something coming, I know that Brother Greg's got my back and he knows that I got his back. And nobody can sneak up on me, because as we turn together. So if we see something coming this way, he sees something coming this way. And I think Brother Greg may be getting a little theatrical behind my back. Something tells me, I'm not sure. Not sure why, but we are more powerful. Now we can be side to side. No one is behind us. We already destroyed them. But we are more powerful when we are linked together in unity. Jesus desired us to be linked together in unity. God desired us to be linked together in unity. Because then we can come along. That's why he can't read it. He needs me. So it says, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. It's a formula. It is, if you can get linked up together with somebody, if you can get two or three gathered together, he is going to show up. See, the easy thing is him showing up. God is always going to show up. His word has never failed. If he said it, he is going to show up. The difficult thing is realizing that, you know, God, I need you to show up. God, I need you to show up. God, I need you to show up. And God can show up on your own. I'm not saying that he won't, but he automatically will show up if we can come along and find somebody and just say, I got to get linked up. I got to get paired together. Now, God, I need you to show up. And God will show up every single time. It is Scripture. It is his word. We've got to be linked together. We cannot be separate. I can't allow, if I notice that Brother Greg is doing this number, I've got to come along beside of him. But if you notice, I've been talking about this the last couple of Wednesday nights often, because I want us to just be aware, to be extra sensitive. When we come in on a Wednesday or a Sunday, you know how people look. You know if someone gives you the, I'm fine. Yeah. And it's easy to say, oh, well, good, glad to see you, and walk on, because you got your own stuff to worry about. That's the easy way out. But that's not the godly church way out. It's more important that you say, is everything, can we talk? You call me. You know, let's get coffee tomorrow. And just get connected and realize that that person could be struggling. And it is a difficult thing to say, well, actually, I'm struggling. Because nobody wants to admit that they're isolated. Nobody wants to admit that they're struggling. Thank you, Brother Greg. Let's give it up for Brother Greg. But if you are that strong one, if you are the one that can be reliant, then be as strong as you can be. Use that strength as much as you can do it. Look for people who are in need. Come along beside them. Encourage them. Lift them up. Pray with them. Don't just say, well, I need to, tomorrow morning when I pray, I need to pray for that person. Do that, but shoot them a text and say, hey, God laid you on my heart. I'm praying for you. What can I? Can we talk? Is there anything specific we can pray about? God will do that. God will lay people on your heart. And I think too often we just, well, that was weird. Wonder why I thought of that person. And go about our day. But I believe God is trying to throw us things. Throw us a bone. Let us be used. Let us fulfill the law of Christ. Let us do what he's called us to do. But we just chalk it up to, that was bizarre. I'll go along with my day. But if you are a strong one, do not allow somebody to be isolated. Do not allow someone to go on their own. Give them your shoulder to lean upon, to cry upon. If you don't have anybody else, if you're in a season of weakness or a season of isolation, we all go through them from time to time. Yours doesn't look like mine. It may look like I got it all together and there'd be no way I could be isolated, but I'm still hiding something. I'm still struggling with something. And if you find yourself in that season, find somebody to connect with. Reach out to my wife and I. Reach out to somebody in the church. Call Brother Davis. He'll talk. He would love for you to reach out to him. You know, just connect. Find somebody to connect with. And recognize that you being independent on your own is not your plan. You can say, too often people say, I don't need anybody. I chose to be like this. I chose to be on my own. This is a me thing. You may think it is, but that is not your plan. That is the enemy's plan. His plan is to get you isolated. His plan is to get you set apart. So if you think it's your plan, you're really just playing into his plan. Because God's plan is never for you to be isolated. So if it's your plan, it's really just a mixture of his plan that you've taken on as your own. The scripture calls the devil a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if you watch a lion hunt, he seeks out the isolated. He seeks out the broken. He seeks out those that are not connected to the pack. And I did some research on lions, and I won't go too in-depth with it now. I might tell it at another time. But lions are very smart and calculated about whom they will attack. And they will only attack, they only have about 100 to 200 meters of energy to run. So if they realize that it's going to take more energy than that, they just won't even go for it. And they realize that their closing capability is they have to get within 30 meters of that prey, creeping up on them before they recognize them. If they can get within 30 meters, most often they will put forth the energy to attack. If they can't get within 30 meters, they won't even bother. That's why you see videos of safaris and, you know, Africa, and lions and gazelle are coexisting because the gazelle sees exactly where that lion is. The gazelle is safe in its pack, in its herd, and it doesn't need to worry about the lion, and the lion isn't going to waste the energy to attack. We need to be like those gazelles and be hypersensitive of where the enemy is. Hypersensitive that he's only looking for the isolated. He's only looking for the defeated. He's only looking for the broken or the wounded. He's not looking to attack a pack. He's not looking to attack a herd. He realizes that's a battle that he can't win. He's not even going to waste the energy. So we need to make sure we are connected to our pack, to the church body. We need to look out for each other. We need to warn each other. We need to protect each other. And we need to be aware when somebody is isolated and wounded. At the end of the day, basically everything I'm discussing, everything I'm talking about, all comes down to just loving one another. Just loving, going beyond just showing up on a Wednesday night. Going beyond just being here. That's great that you're here, but do you love somebody? Do you have a connection to somebody? 1 John 4:7 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. If God loved us, we ought to also love one another. If God loves you, which God loves you, you should love one another. You should show others love. If we love one another, God's love dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. I mentioned it before, but nothing in me is perfect or is perfected. Nothing. I have flesh. Brother Callum again mentioned it. We are imperfect people living in flesh, struggling and dealing with flesh. And it is a fight with my flesh every morning. Every morning I have to take it under submission. Every morning I have to surrender my flesh. Every morning I have to take my mind, my heart, my mouth. You know, I want to cover every single part of me in submission to God because I want to be perfected with his love. That's the only thing that I can desire. That's the only thing that I can seek out after is finding a way to love others so his love can be perfected in us. It's an opportunity for us to get his love perfected in us just by loving one another. It's an opportunity for us to grow as a Christian, to use that strength, to come alongside beside someone and to show them a love that we were never shown, to show them a love that no one has ever shown us, but to show them a love that God has shown us, to let them know that, hey, I care. More than a two-minute conversation in the foyer, more than just a hug and say, love you, bro, love you, sis, praying for you. I mean, I care enough to go to coffee. I care enough to go to your home or invite you into my home. I care enough to go to lunch. I care enough for you to sit there and just cry and tell me what's going on. I care enough. I love you that much, and I want to bear that burden along beside you. As we near close, I want to play just a couple-minute video clip, if Brother Jay can get it pulled up. And this is the pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle. His name is Jim Cimbala. He's not a Pentecostal preacher. I'm not even exactly sure what his, he's not Pentecostal. If you know, Brother Davis, do you know what Brother Cimbala is? Okay. Yes, they are that. So he gets to the end, he makes one statement that we don't necessarily agree with, but that's not the majority of the video. But I want us to see this video and hear him talk about something.
Thank you.
So we can stand as we close. We just have to position ourselves to love whoever comes in that back door. Regardless of what they look like, regardless, like he said, what they smell like, what they act like, if they don't belong here, that thought can never be in our mindset in this church. That thought does not belong in this church. Everybody belongs here. This is an open door church. We will love everybody. We will welcome everybody. That doesn't mean that we will allow them to live the way they live. We will bring people along, but anybody is welcome here. We are going to love people unabashedly, unashamedly, cordial to all, regardless if we don't look, act, talk, whatever it may be. That's what God calls us to do, to love everybody. And how could we stand at the pearly gates? Jesus is there, and he's saying, but why didn't you, I sent people to you, and you didn't love them. And what are you going to say? Well, they didn't look like the ones I wanted to reach, God. They didn't act how I wanted. I wanted the lawyer to come in. I wanted the doctor to come in. I wanted that. But God said, but I sent you soul after soul after soul, and you wouldn't love them. How scary and ashamed would we be? How terrible would that be if that were the case? But I believe God wants us to love every single person, regardless of what they look like. They are precious. They are a child of God. They are precious in his eyes. So as we close tonight, why don't we just lift up our hands and let's ask God to help us to love others the way he loves people. God, I pray. Lord, give us a sensitivity to this world. This world needs you in the worst way. God, every sin smells bad to you. Everything is not pleasing to you. God, let us get over ourselves and get over our pride. God, we are not above anybody. We're not above loving and reaching and connecting the poorest or the richest person. God, I don't care if they're homeless or they live in a mansion. God, help us to love people. God, I pray, Lord, that we would turn our attention to those around us. God, we would get over our own needs, get over our own desires. God, get over what our schedule looks like and help us to love others. God, I pray, help us, Jesus, to get rid of that mindset that we are too busy, we're too important, we have too many things going on that we can't stop. We can't spend some time with somebody. We can't love one another. In Jesus' name, help us, God. Help us, God. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus, to love like you love. Help us, Jesus, to be sensitive to people. Thank you.
Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Amen. Be in prayer. Be in prayer this week for what God is going to do on Sunday. Be in prayer that God would open your eyes to somebody that needs love. If you are a strong one, be strong. Use your strength for God's will. If you're weak, don't allow the shame, the bitter, or the embarrassment, whatever, to overcome you reaching and connecting with somebody and finding God's strength tonight. You are dismissed. Be safe in the cold and the snow. I'm not sure what's going to come tonight, but just